Are you working to rebuild your team after the pandemic? Have you had to deal with someone on the team who's bringing everyone down? How do we build healthy teams?
Yeah, I think the first thing you need to do is show up yourself and be everything that you would want in a team member yourself. You be that, right? Mm-hmm. It all starts with the leader.
Also in this episode, we talk about the importance of developing our leadership skills along with our musical skills.
Like I always say, worship leading is less about musicianship and more about leadership. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be an effective, good steward of your life and good steward and have influence over people, then you need to develop your leadership gifts. And leadership is like very little about how well you can play the guitar. You should learn to play the guitar well. You should practice the guitar. You right? shouldn't suck, like David said. But you should develop the leadership aspect, because if you're a great leader, you can raise up other people who are good at guitar, right. and right. you can develop a team to fill around your weaknesses.
It's time once again for the Worship Ministry Catalyst Podcast.
Worship Ministry Catalyst is a resource for all worship leaders and team members serving in the local church.
So take a seat at the table and join the conversation as we discuss all things worship, from team dynamics to technology and song selection.
And now it's time for the show.
Well, I'd like to welcome our guest today, Alex Enfiegian. And I just had him try to give me a little tutorial on how to pronounce his last name. I don't know how I did, but Alex, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you today.
Thanks, David. It's so good to be with you. You are one of the originals, the OG podcasters from back in the, 2004, maybe?
2008, May of 2008.
Amazing. So, I love it.
It's been, been a long journey. Kevin was with me for a lot of it, and now it's Joe and I doing this together. So, been a long road, but kind of fun to go back and see the journey that you've traveled. But welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Can you just introduce yourself to our listeners and let everyone kind of get a picture of who you are, where you lead worship, and maybe share with us your worship leading journey to where you are today.
Sure, totally. Yeah, I'll make it as quick as I can. My name's Alex Enfiegian. I'm 35-year-old worship pastor. I live in Los Angeles, California. Married, two little girls, 9 and 6. So that's always fun and giggles and stupidity and those kinds of fun things. And then, I lead a pretty large team here at Calvary Chapel South Bay in the Los Angeles area. So we had, it's weird because you have to talk about pre-COVID and post-COVID.
Right.
Pre-COVID, we had probably 150 to 200 volunteers in our worship ministry. We have a large church and we have multiple venues. Mm-hmm. We're a single site church.
Right.
But we have the youth band and the kids mm-hmm. band and the marriage ministry band. So every ministry has their own team. And then all of those volunteers are part of our worship ministry family.
Okay.
I was leading that for, 3 years, and then COVID hit, and now we're in this new era of leading ministry.
Right.
My worship leading journey is probably much like everyone else listening, which is you were musical and you were at church and your youth pastor was like, hey, do this. And so there you go. And you do it. So I've been doing it for about 20 years now and have made a lot of mistakes along the way and have learned from those mistakes. And now I get to serve, weekly. Bi-weekly, actually every twice a week, we have services at our church, Thursdays and Sundays.
Okay.
And, and then I started also a podcast in, 7 years ago, 8 years ago now, not as long as you, David.
Oh, that's a long time though, especially, so many podcasts kind of jump in and they only last, a couple
five
of weeks
episodes.
A few episodes and then they just leave it up there for forever. And,
To do a good job, it's actually a lot more work than people realize.
Right.
To really produce high quality content and to deliver something practical and helpful to people takes a lot more time than people realize, both on the front end and on the back end. So good job.
No, you've got a much better produced podcast than we do. So so you're doing the great work there when it comes to podcasting. So. So that's interesting. You guys do a service Thursday and Sunday. I've heard a couple of churches doing that. How does that work out?
Yeah, it's a lot. And we used to actually have a third service, which was Sunday night service, which was completely different than the morning services on Sunday. And we also had like a midweek staff devotions because we had a pretty large staff, and we would have like a special service for the staff every week. And then you have all the other things like men's, women's, marriage. It was insane, man. Yeah. And it's amazing that my hair is not all full of gray hairs, you know?
Yeah. Or gone. Yeah.
Or gone.
Well, my hair is doing both.
It's slowly going away. Yeah.
That's what I get a little more gray here and a lot more gray. You can't really see it with the sun shining on that side of my face, but yeah. It's kind of hiding it for me today. So that's good. But yeah, so you lead a team, or pre-COVID, you led a team of 150. Has that changed since COVID? Do you have a smaller group?
I would say because all of our ministries went on hold, and except for our main services, which we live streamed, you know, we did only online for a season, and then we did outdoors when it was allowed, and then we're back indoors again. And obviously indoors and live stream, like most of our church is still watching virtually, participating in service. And so, our volunteer base went down a lot because there were less ministries needed, and because COVID was the great shakeup and people started to like look elsewhere for other churches or fall away from the faith altogether. Right. So I don't even have a number of how many volunteers are serving throughout the church, because things are just barely now starting to ramp up again. But on our main team that plays in our main sanctuary, we have about 45 volunteers.
Okay. Yeah. So that's interesting. That's you have about the same number of people on your worship ministry that I have in my church as a senior pastor. So,
nice. Yeah,
so,
well, we're both leading small groups of people then.
Right. Yep. Yeah. 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 So we kind of touched on a little bit, but, what was your COVID journey like, maybe from the beginning, start at the beginning of the pandemic, and just kind of walk us through the first several months of what you had to go through, as a worship leader in your environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I am a worship leader, yes, but I don't mean this to sound like snooty or anything weird, but I actually consider myself more of a leader.
Okay.
And then I happen to lead in different capacities. Sometimes I have a guitar strapped on my shoulder. Sometimes I'm leading a group of people. So COVID for me was like leadership opportunity, because our church is very big. Like before COVID, I would say we were probably a 10,000 person church.
Wow.
But we didn't have a communication team. We didn't have a mailing list. We had really bad social media.
Wow.
We had like nothing that you would think that a big church would have. We didn't have any of it.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising.
It is very surprising. But thankfully COVID brought the opportunity to fix all those things. And so for me, the first few months of COVID was a whirlwind of trying to patch all the holes in the leaky ship. So we made a mailing list. We got people's phone numbers, text campaign stuff. We built a church app with push notifications so we could stay notified, like connected to people. We upped our social media game, and then we figured out how to improve our live stream. And it's not just me. I have a great team here. You know, I have wonderful production people who are making our video look better and audio better and all that stuff. So we were already live streaming pre-COVID, so it wasn't like a huge jump. It was just like, okay, now this is the only thing, so let's make it look really good.
Mm-hmm.
So COVID was the push that we needed to solve all the problems quickly. It probably catapulted us 3 years, or like leapfrogged us 3 years or 4 years over what it would have taken on a normal, you know, just in the rut routine type situation. So I'm thankful for COVID. It also revealed some major flaws in our church as a whole and in our ministry as a worship ministry. Hmm. We, like you probably could tell, we were a very, very busy activity service driven church.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were always serving. Our team members were always somewhere serving. And all we ever really did was ask them to serve. We didn't have community. So when the service opportunity is away, the community dislodged and scattered. And I think that was just a normal part of COVID in general, but it was accentuated the fact that we didn't have a deeply rooted, connected community that loved to be with each other. So we were able to begin to start solving that. We want to solve it church-wide. We want to have home groups in our church. But we started just in the worship ministry and the production ministry. We started small groups. We started prayer partner program. And so we started to just try to knit the team together. And I just told the guys, we should be hanging out together outside of just serving together. Yeah. You know, we're not really friends. Like we love each other. We love being together, but like outside of church and serving, because we're such a busy church, we don't spend that time together. Everyone has their separate lives. And so we're trying to become a more connected community. And again, this is all thanks to God giving us COVID.
Right.
I mean, I know people really suffered through COVID. Right, I don't want to like make light of it, but yeah, I just, yeah, really thankful.
Yeah, it is. I understand what you're saying because there's been a lot of struggle. There's been a lot of challenge in the last year, but God always redeems everything, and He's using this to I think push the mission of the church, not just forward but deeper. Into a more effective model of church where maybe some of the things that we had gotten distracted by for a long, long time. We're forced, it's almost like a forced pruning, and, the master gardener just kind of came through and there were a lot of things that were really good that we had spent a lot of time on and probably producing fruit, but the master gardener knows what's going to be best for the vine as a whole and can come through and cut some of those things out. And so it sounds like to me, what you're saying is that COVID actually helped you become a lot more intentional and not just building community, but maybe even, building discipleship into your approach as a worship ministry. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. And this is not completely related to COVID, but we had one, I want to be careful speaking about people on the internet, but one not healthy team member who was on staff was removed from their position. And that removal also, a few other people followed that person. And the life and the fruit and the health that came up in place of that toxicity has been amazing. So there's been so much more focus now as a team on the spiritual side of ministry.
Oh, good.
I mean, I've always tried to lead that. But when you have a few people who are like fighting against that, it's just, it's hard until you remove the cancer, like there can't be wellness,
Right, right. So. Yeah, it's that the old, Maxwell law of the bad apple, law of the rotten apple, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. And
yeah, totally.
The law of association. But so I noticed on your podcast a couple episodes ago, you had Chris Vache on your podcast.
And, he's like a repeat, three-peat or four-peat guest. Okay. Actually, I think that was his third official episode, and then we did one episode that was too like executive leadership stuff that most worship leaders probably wouldn't care about. So we put it on Dropbox as like a bonus file, but it never got released. So he's a stud, man. He's a great guy.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast years ago when he was leading Worship Rises up there in Canada. I thought, such a great story. Love the idea of local church, like in your area, writing songs for your local churches to worship to. Really appreciated that. But it sounds like both with, because he's transitioned over the years, and it sounds like you've got a lot more of an executive role, a lot more of an administrative role than maybe a lot of worship leaders might have in their roles. A lot of worship leaders are kind of focused on, just basically planning the set and trying to get through Sunday without sucking is what one of the things that we've said. But you've obviously got a lot more administrative tasks that you have to do. What would be something that you would suggest for some worship leaders that maybe in smaller churches like mine or Joe's church that could benefit from one or two principles of administrative executive thing that skills that you've learned over the years?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, like I always say, worship leading is less about musicianship and more about leadership. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be an effective, good steward of your life and good steward and have influence over people, then you need to develop your leadership gifts. And leadership is like very little about how well you can play the guitar. You should learn to play the guitar well. You should practice the guitar. You shouldn't suck, like David said. But you should develop the leadership aspect, because even if you do suck at guitar, if you're a great leader, you can raise up other people who are good at guitar, right. And right. You can develop a team to fill around your weaknesses because you're a good leader. So mm-hmm. I would say focus on leadership. Read some books about leadership, like John Maxwell books. He has so many great leadership right. books. Just become a constant learner. Like, just become obsessed with, like, obviously you're listening to this podcast. Great. Kudos. That's really a great first step, to just always be listening and consuming content. But then also write down, like, keep a learning log. Like, I have a Evernote note that just, it's called Things I'm Learning. And every month it has the header. And then I just have a bunch of bullet points of things I'm learning, because it helps to, like, capture those things and write it down. Like today, for example, I wrote down meetings maintain momentum, meaning when you stop regularly communicating with your team in a group setting, you lose steam and you right. lose progress. So that's just one little thing that I thought about today. The other thing that I thought about is, like, when it comes to, like, great people on your team, it's like the best people are people who develop people, you know? So right. that's who you want to have around you. So valuable people are people who develop other people. So those are just little things that I'm learning. So keep a learning log and just develop yourself, so that, because you are the lid on your own effectiveness. Mm-hmm. So if you can increase your capacity, and I know some people are only listening to the audio, so they don't see what my hands are doing. But if you can increase your capacity, then you can lead more, you know? Right. So those are the two things I would say, probably.
Yeah, that's good. I hear a lot of Maxwellian thinking coming out there. So that I'm a big Maxwell fan. He was actually, I grew up in the Wesleyan Church, and we had, you know, youth conferences every 4 years, great big, you know, regional youth conferences, and he was speaking at one of them. He was actually the speaker when I got called into ministry, and so I kind of have a strong affinity for his teaching. But yeah, you know, I've kind of done the same thing. You know, I've just kept a list. I've got a list of about 26 principles that I've just collected over the years, you know, for leading worship ministry, for training people in the worship ministry, discipling people in the worship ministry. Now, I've never published them or anything, but I just keep it in an Evernote file, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking for principles. So, like, you know, like you said, meetings maintain momentum. Well, that's a good mm-hmm. principle. You know, mm-hmm. you can write that down, and you can not only use it again, but it can actually be something that actually guides how you shape and build your worship ministry over the years. So yeah, that's great.
One more thing I would say about administration, because, like, a lot of worship leaders are creative types mm-hmm. and, like, they shirk from or scoff at administrative tasks. But I will tell you, you cannot have a healthy ministry without stability, because stability breeds predictability, which nothing can grow without stability. And so you need to create systems and, like, schedules and routines and processes that just repeat on regular bases, I don't know, that regular routines that build stability for your team, so that you're not constantly fighting chaos and taming the chaos monster. When you're spending all your energy taming chaos, you don't have any energy to spend on the things that actually are going to build your ministry. So just build some weekly routines. And I have like a healthy ministry template, a calendar template on my, it's not on my website, actually. You have to sign up for the email list and then you can get that.
Okay.
But I have, like, this pre-built routine thing that shows you what to do on which day of the week and what to do on which month throughout the year, to, you know, on quarterly basis, on a monthly basis, all those things to build stability so that your ministry can thrive. Because you can't shirk administration. If you're going to be a good leader, you have to learn to be organized.
Right. And a lot of the biggest frustrations and challenges that leaders might be dealing with would actually be resolved if they spent, or we spent, a little more time in administrative tasks and giving people the foundation they need to be able to feel like they're safe and secure, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're kind of transitioning there already. I wanted to talk about building teams and discipling teams. Sounds like you've kind of been changing your approach a little bit over the last couple of years. You've got a course on that on your website, worshipministrytraining.com, team building. And it looks like you can actually get that as a part of the bundle. Could you explain that really quick? Because you just mentioned that beforehand, and I was really impressed with how you're running that. Talk about the bundle. Talk about the courses that you offer, and then if you don't mind, you know, maybe share what you do with people around the world.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, David. That's very kind of you. Yeah, I have some courses that I've developed. Like I said, I've been leading worship for 20 years almost, and I've made a ton of mistakes. So I took all the hard lessons learned and turn them into, right now there's 5 courses. I'm going to develop actually a couple more later this year, one on leadership and one on musical excellence. But right now I have 5 courses on there, and then you get some supplemental material and some eBooks and stuff like that. And it's a bundle for worship leaders. It's for people who were thrown into ministry without given any formal training. And so you'll learn the foundations, like what is the role, goal, and tools of a worship leader. You'll learn like how to build healthy teams, how to craft compelling song sets, kind of the main things that you need to know to be successful as a, you know, a worship leader who wants to be a good steward of what you've been entrusted with. And so, yeah, it's all on the website, worshipministrytraining.com/courses. And thanks for letting me plug that. I do offer scholarships for people in third world and developing countries. So, yeah, you know, like if that's your awesome. Church has money to buy the courses, please do. But if you're in Africa or Asia or Central America or wherever, Antarctica, and you can't afford the courses, like just you'll email me, alex@worshipministrytraining.com. Let me know where you serve, and then I will give you a full scholarship for the courses.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's such a kingdom-minded way to run this. And nothing wrong with being paid for your work. I mean, scripture teaches that, you know, the worker's worth is higher. Don't muzzle the ox while it treads the grain, that kind of a thing. But I really, really appreciate that you're giving that away in parts of the country where people can't afford it. You mentioned, you know, a lot of worship leaders just kind of got thrown into it without any training. Well, I had training, and most of my training didn't prepare me for worship ministry, you know, running a worship ministry. You know, I was never at a church as large as yours, but we had very little teaching and training on the administration side, on the team building side. We had lots of musical training, you know, lots of time spent, you know, learning your instrument, learning how to sing properly, you know, being in choirs and that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But when I was in school, worship bands were still not the mainstream form of worship leading. And so there wasn't a whole lot of standardized teaching to it and building and discipling and educating leaders and that kind of a thing. So maybe if you wouldn't mind, walk us through just kind of the basics of building a team, you know, recruiting a team, building a team, and then discipling that team in worship ministry.
Yeah, there's so much there, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think the first thing you need to do is show up yourself and be everything that you would want in a team member yourself. You be that, right? Mm-hmm. It all starts with the leader.
Right.
So if you want musically excellent team members, be musically excellent. If you want responsible team members, be responsible. If you have to set the tone and the pace, you're the leader. So it starts with the leader, right? That's the first thing I would say. Then develop a vision. And this can be just something as simple as you get away for a day, you take your notepad and a Bible and a pen, and you go somewhere beautiful to pray and seek God's vision for what he would want to build at your church. And think about your church. Don't think about what you want. Like, you might want like a poppin' youth band type thing with like techno music and flashy lights. But if you're in a country church or rural church, like, it's not going to work. So like, you got to keep the church in mind while you seek God's vision for the church, right?
That's
so you seek God's vision. What's that?
That's something we've talked about a lot over the years. You know, a lot of worship leaders really want to force their preferential style of worship onto a congregation that it doesn't resonate with. And
right.
Our job as leaders is to serve the congregation, to lead them in worship, not to get our own needs met. So sorry, I just wanted to
reemphasize
that.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, so that is what you do. You get your vision, and then you got to craft some values, right? And what values are? Our values are how you want the values are the things that are valuable to you and the team. Values are the things that the priorities, the things that you want your team to do, how you want your team to behave, how you want your team to interact. And so you craft these values, like 5 to 7 values. So for example, our church's values for our worship ministry, we are worshipers. That's the most important thing that we want on a team member, in a team member, is that they are a worshiper, that they are constantly growing in their relationship with the Lord, that they're fighting against sin. So we are worshipers. We are servants. So we are there to serve. We're not there to be divas. We're there to do whatever is asked of us. We will serve in any venue, wherever. So we're servants. We are worshipers, servants. We are encouragers. So we're always speaking well of each other and building each other up and trying to call out the best in each other. We're raising up the next generation after us. We're encouragers. So values like that, right? So what do you want your team? And one way to get your values is to ask the question, if someone came to our church from another church, how would we want them to describe our team when they left? What would we want them to say about our team? Wow, that team was so XYZ. Those are your values. That's the thing you want to value as a team. And once you have that, you can start looking for people who exemplify those things, and you can recruit in different ways. You know, you can do the cattle call. You can set up a little like online link for, you know, connecting with people. It depends on your church size and context, but you want to find people who exemplify the values, or who are at least somewhat in line with the values, who are trainable, so you can begin to onboard them and implement the values. And again, there's so many steps to this. It's such a huge question. It's hard to really, but I would say get a vision, get values, and then start looking for people who exemplify those things, and then begin constantly talking about those values in different ways with the team that you are building, so that they become formed into those things. And then once the culture is strong, it carries along new people who join.
Right.
Again, there's so much to cover. It's a 5-hour course.
Right. Right.
But, there's a 5-minute kind of summary.
Yeah. Well, that should whet people's appetite, and maybe they want to go check that out and get the full thing. So, but you're right. I mean, culture. I don't know who said it, but we've repeated it a whole bunch of times. Culture eats vision for lunch. You know, and like you mentioned with the the rotten apple, that if you don't have a culture in place, and you've got people in your group, in your team, that are actively fighting against the culture that you want to replace, then you need to deal with that. So how would you encourage someone that might have a difficult person, might have somebody who doesn't have the right values, that doesn't have that, like you mentioned, the servant heart, or isn't there as a worship leader? Maybe they're there to be a diva. And it's bringing the whole culture of the whole ministry, the worship ministry, down. How would you have someone deal with that?
Yeah. It's your job as the leader to both cultivate the culture and protect the culture. So you have been appointed by God to build this thing. And if you allow cancer to grow in your team, you are failing at being a good leader. And so don't run away from this calling that God has placed upon you. I know it's scary. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's awful, you know, to have to confront people and talk to people and speak the truth in love to people. So what I would do is I would definitely talk to them, and definitely do it in person. But what I would do is I would use the values that you have as a team and say, hey, look, you know, when you joined this team, we talked about these things. And I know if a listener is listening and they're like, I don't have values, so I've never talked about these things. Well, that's harder, but you still need to address the behavior. But if you have some sort of agreed upon values, you need to point back to those and say, hey, look, when you joined the team, we talked about being on time. We talked about dressing appropriately, whatever the issue is, right? We talked about this, and I wanted to point out that it looks like you're not really living by those values and those things we agreed upon when you joined the team. And again, if you can't point back to your values, you just have to just shoot it straight, you know,
right,
and tell people, hey, I really need to see this change. And then give people chances, give people time, but you have to address the issue. And I do have a podcast on how to have difficult conversations. that I could send you a link. Or I also have a free chapter. Again, if they sign up for the email list, there's a free chapter of a book that I was working on that it's the whole chapter. It's like 11 pages of how to approach this. But you have to deal with it because if you don't, it will destroy your team.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a great book by Joseph Grinney called Crucial Conversations that might help with that. You know, I've learned I don't like confrontation. I don't know if you do, but I just don't enjoy it. I hate it. You know? But what I've learned over the years is that my tendency, because I hate confrontation, is to procrastinate it, let an issue go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. All the time, the issue is getting worse, and my perception of the issue is getting worse. And I tend to become, a lot more nitpicky of this person. And I was like, confirmation bias kicks in. And I said, well, I see this in them. And now I look at all the evidence I see of that problem. And so, our tendency as humans to need to create villains, we then create a villain out of the person that we're actually supposed to be leading and shepherding because we haven't had this confrontation. So, over the years, I hate confrontation. And because I hate confrontation, I'm going to confront somebody as early as I possibly can so that I can keep the confrontation as small as possible. Otherwise, you're just building, it's going to become this a huge blow up, dramatic problem, especially in the arts, in worship arts ministry with creatives. You have a much higher tendency for things to get out of control and lose somebody because you don't have a small confrontation. But if you can have, small crucial conversations over time, then it's a lot easier to keep people in relation and healthy relationships with one another.
Yeah, and the most loving thing you can do for that person is help them grow.
Right.
And so by withholding something that's going to help them grow, you're actually harming them.
Right.
So you gotta flip the script and look at it from a positive perspective.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're just about out of time. Let's mention really quickly your website again, worshipministrytraining.com. Right? I got that right. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I get the credentials right. Where else can people find you if they want to contact you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best place. That's like the central hub. On the bottom, you can find all the different social media links. I'm not personally active on social, except for Twitter a little bit. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me, alex@worshipministrytraining.com, or you can just go to the website and click on the social link that you... Well, don't DM me on Instagram or Facebook. I will never, ever see it. I literally don't have access to either of those, like... My wife manages it. I just post the stuff to it. So,
right.
But yeah, David, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure getting to meet you, and I'm thankful that you would let me speak to your tribe.
Oh, it's all our pleasure. Give you the last word. How would you give some encouragement to worship leaders listening today?
Yeah, I would say, whoever you are, wherever you are, you were called to this. You were called to what you're doing. If God wanted someone else to be there, he would have put someone else there. The fact that you're there means he wants to teach you something. He wants to work in you, and then he wants to work through you. So don't run from it, but press into the Lord and then take it seriously. Take your calling seriously and do whatever you need to do to grow and to keep growing and to be the most effective version of yourself possible so that God can get the glory.
That's great. Great word. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for joining us once again on the Worship Ministry Catalyst podcast.
And make sure to add your voice to the conversation. You can find us at twitter.com/WMCatalyst.
On Facebook at facebook.com/WorshipMinistryCatalyst.
Or head over to worshipministrycatalyst.com and drop us a note.